Ooh, yeah, this is the Macho Man Randy Savage, and you're listening to the Rock Paper Podcast. Check it out at rockpaperpodcast.com. Yeah, dig it!
Podcast is kind of like a, it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Rock Paper Podcast. Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, episode 71. I wanted to remind everybody, coming up June 7th, Sunday, 11 to 5 at Steve's Hot Dogs, is the Rock Paper Podcast anniversary party and acoustic brunch. We'll have live acoustic music from Apollo's Daughter, Skyburnt White, Cortland Zelli, Connor Lau, Steve Ewing Duo, Denver Wade Trent, and I think that's everybody.
I think so.
Probably forgot somebody. Anyway, and the hot dog buffet. Buffet is $15. Obviously the menu will be open, and TikTok Tavern next door will have cold beverages all day, and so come hang out with us, and it'll be fun. Today, I took a little field trip. We are out in Collinsville, Illinois. We're hanging out with Cluster Pluck. So, or I guess, three fifths of the band. Welcome to the show, guys.
Oh, thanks for having us.
You guys want to say hi and introduce yourselves for everybody listening?
Hi, I'm Chris.
I'm Derek.
And Matt.
I'm
here too.
That's okay. Yeah.
That's right. No, I'm here too. That's fine.
Well,
that's fine.
I think it's almost known now that you're kind of becoming a regular.
Yeah. For now, until people are like, God, will you tell that guy to just shut the fuck up? Or go home or do something else?
Yeah.
I'm just waiting. I'm waiting for it.
We haven't got any hate mail yet, so
I'm gonna hate mail you just because you haven't had one yet. I'm gonna be that guy.
Make up a username,
anonymous
at not a fan of stevehotdogs.com.
Give you a thumbs down on YouTube.
Yeah, thumbs down on YouTube and everything.
We were talking a little bit off mic here about how I came about seeing you guys, and I guess the first time I saw you guys live was with Ben Miller at the Old Rock House, which was a lot of fun. But I follow a lot of the calendars with Oyster Bar and stuff.
Yeah.
So I see you guys pop up on their calendar pretty regularly.
Yeah, we play there probably once a month.
Yeah, pretty much monthly.
Yeah.
We usually always have a band that we admire or that we are friends with or just met maybe that we really like. You know, their style, we always play with a different band, usually. Mm-hmm. Usually it isn't just us at the Oyster Bar. Sometimes it is, but usually we try to bring some different acts in there as well.
Sure.
Not just locally, just...
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they constantly bringing in incredible entertainment through the way.
Yeah.
It's like... Jeez. And I'm excited that they're like...
Preach.
I guess they're expanding now.
Oh, yeah, they... I guess it's done, or they started on it. I'm not really sure.
I haven't been by. It's been a bit. I live out in Wentzville, so coming down there is a pretty good haul for me. But I'm down there pretty regularly. I think it was maybe a month or two ago. I was there three nights in 1 week, and that was a pretty good week.
That's a pretty good week.
I think I saw Emily Wallace there, and Stephen Woolley, and Aaron Cam and the One Drops.
And we went there after the Herd show, didn't we?
Yeah.
We dropped in and saw Aaron play, and then I wish I would have known what group that was after them, because they were killer, man.
I think it was the Service.
It was like three guys, and dude, they were jammed. It was like all funkin'. It was awesome.
Yeah, I think that I'm pretty sure it's the Service at some point.
Yeah, they just don't really... I mean, I've never really heard anybody say... Well, that band at the Oyster Bar was horrible. Yeah. I mean, there's always just awesome bands that play there just right. all the time.
Yeah, we went there Saturday night, and there, what band was that?
They were Dirty Bourbon River Show.
Yeah, okay.
And they were from, like, New Orleans. And they were cool. They had a trombone player as their bass player, basically, you know, and it was all pretty much horns and a drum, or drummer, and it was intense. It was cool. Yeah, it was New Orleans style and voodoo, and it was kind of scary at times. You know, so it was cool though. It was very cool.
They got, I think they're doing, they're partnered up with Old Rock House for this Summer Girl show they're doing.
Is that the Soldiers for?
I know it's like Mingo Fish Trap and Funky Butt Brass is there. It's like
Funky Butt, they kill it.
Oh yeah, it's like all this New Orleans, and they're doing Oyster Bar is going to be providing food, so I think they're doing some kind of like crawfish boil or something too.
Oh yeah, that's this weekend, I think.
Oh, this is
this
is June 20th.
Oh okay.
Yeah, it's coming up, and I. My birthday is June 19th, so I dubbed it my unofficial birthday party. So if anybody,
there you go.
Mine's 22nd.
Yeah, you can come celebrate.
Hey, let's do it, buddy. I'm down.
Yeah,
hey, I'll come celebrate with you guys.
Yeah, I think it was like it was Dumpster Funk.
Dumpster Funk, yeah.
and Mark Brossard, or how do you say his name?
I'm not very familiar with, but I know that name. Yeah,
yeah. I bought a record a while back. It's Josh Hogue, and I'm a big fan of his brother Will Hogue. And Josh is his album is a little more pop R&B, and but Mark was like one of the writers on a song, and so that's where I first learned his name and things, okay, but yeah. he's got his own record out and stuff, and he's been doing a lot of things. So he's there, and it's going to be a big festival, and it sounds like a killer time. So
yeah, I'm sure. I think when they do that, it's usually a all day, all night thing, and it's just jam packed.
Enough of those horns and that New Orleans sound and that food, mm-hmm. and I guess it's
plenty of booze down there.
Yeah,
it's a good damn time.
Oh yeah. But anyway, so what about You guys, how would you guys call it? What would you, you guys, there's some bluegrass kind of stuff in there?
Yeah,
some...
bluegrass is definitely a root of it, but I wouldn't say it is the root of
How would you guys describe it?
That's a good question. Yeah. How would we describe it?
Yeah. Different ways every time.
Yeah,
definitely not traditional bluegrass.
Yeah. You know, it's Americana. It encompasses everything that is...
Classic country and jam band.
Yeah, we've been hearing jam a lot because we use a lot of pedals and effects, so that kind of takes it to a different realm of...
We're not really a jam band like a jam band is, though. Yeah. I mean, we don't just... There's four songs that we jam real hard on, and that's it. Like, the rest of them, we don't jam like that. You know what I mean?
It's not an hour-long
song. It's definitely
song
more structured and more... Yeah, yeah. But there, there is a little bit of that, old-timey bluegrass sound. But yeah, like Matt said, there's a lot of country sound to it. There's a little bit of funkiness to it, and
a little bit of blues.
Matt adds a little bit of classical violin licks here and there and some stuff, But yeah, and we all switch around instruments a lot. We keep it interesting. It's upbeat, energetic, and fun.
Yeah,
definitely. It can be for all ages without it being kind of boring. That is for all ages. You know what I mean? It's still fun for everybody. So.
Yeah, I know, I guess you probably get some of the bluegrass comparison and that stuff, like, just because there's a lot of strings in the band and things, so...
Well, you see a banjo, you automatically think in your head, oh, you're a bluegrass band.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's what's cool about you guys is, I've heard a lot of your guys' stuff, and it's like, my 4-year-old, man, she jams. Mm-hmm. We got your stuff about a month ago. And I was like, I turn it on, and she's just in the back seat, just bobbing her head. She's like, I love this stuff. What is it? I'm like, so I'm trying to teach her the name. and thankfully, it's turning out okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of adults that you tell them the name, and they can't say it right. You gotta.
So that was kind of, I'm like, oh, no. You listen, we try and re-say it a little bit differently. But yeah, she enjoys your guys' music for sure.
Well, good.
Yeah. I think the good thing about us, all ages, it doesn't matter if you're 4 or 94,
Yeah, but 95-year-olds.
95-year-olds, that's our cutoff.
These young whippersnappers are...
this rock and banjo music.
So you guys play quite a bit nationally, though, too, right? You guys all over...
We travel around as much as we can. We want to travel around more. You know, it's...
Well, hey, now after the Rock Paper Podcast, man.
Hey, I hope you know we're gonna use it to our advantage. That's for sure.
Yeah, we just got back from California run. We spent about 3 weeks.
I know, bummer.
But it was a little chilly. Yeah. We hit Colorado and hit about 3 foot of snow in Denver, so that kind of was a rude awakening.
But that was pretty cool because it made the first time I went through Colorado, I'd never seen the mountains, and I was expecting like. You know what you think of mountains, like a bush can.
Denver's full of
shit. Yeah. I see these mountains. I'm like, man, these are just big old hills, you know. And then we see them with snow on them. It's like it's totally different. They look how I think they should look anyway.
Right. You know, like on the bush can.
Like you said, bush can.
Yeah.
Bush Bavarian.
Yeah.
I just started thinking of. I thought the Rocky Mountains would be a little
rockier.
Rockier ass.
Yeah. Oh, man. Such a great movie.
Yeah.
So, do you, you guys been doing that by yourself? Or are you guys finding shows out there? Or are you guys been touring with another group or anything?
We basically, Leah and Justin, the two that aren't here, because they're so busy getting us shows, they're the ones that pretty much book everything. We don't have help from anybody as far as that goes. You know, I mean, it's we would like to, you know, but at the same time, it's like we got to find somebody that is gonna that you know, as cliche as it is, you got to find somebody that believes in your band and wants to work for your band and doesn't expect just to be able to just throw you out there. You know, they gotta help you benefit your own music too. Yeah. So it's hard to find them. And we got to benefit what they're doing, the shows they're booking. We got to go and play hard and not let people down. You know?
Especially, you figure it'd kind of be easier now because of how big festivals are getting. It's like they have national bookers that can be like, well, I heard this band at this last festival. I think they'd work really good at this festival. Yeah. So I'm really surprised there's not a group or a...
Well, there definitely is, and they're out there. And you know...
But I mean, what I mean, it hasn't picked you guys up.
Yeah, we've had one or two kind of courting us. You know, it's kind of that... you know, maybe it ain't your time for that just yet, or maybe it ain't whatever, just whatever happens with that. And we looked up, we had to figure up, because of that same reason, we're kind of talking to somebody, I guess, now, and we had to send them shows, how many shows we played, and we were like, kind of like, oh, wow, we played this many shows at this many places, and that don't even count how many times we've played those places numerous times and stuff like that, and it's just a growing process. Yeah. We're pretty good at setting goals. And maybe not a time frame for that goal, but say we want to do this, and this.
And making use of contacts and just places and people we've been and met.
Yeah. I mean, it's like we mentioned that Ben Miller and those guys, they got picked up on that Blackberry Smoke show this summer.
So it's ZZ Top.
So I mean, it's cool to see. You know, those guys. You know, they've been. Putting in a lot of years working, but you know they started out of Joplin, so it's I don't always have to be the big towns.
And that's we still got a few years I think yet to. I mean, you know, as far as this, how the band actually is now and us developing the sound that we kind of have and the energy we give off, it's only been like 2 years since that's been there because Matt. The violin player's only been in the band for like 2 years, and that kind of completed it.
Yeah, just 2 years.
And really started making it what it is, you know. So,
when did the rest of you start playing?
Me and Derek and Justin started the band like probably 5 years ago, we say something like that. And then Leah joined the band probably 3.5 years ago, or something like that. Yeah, we probably played a year and a half or so, just us three. And when she
just a little bit with four of you, right? Before I
Leah
probably played with us a year before we picked you up.
Oh, okay.
If that, I don't know. You know, time flies when you're having fun, you know what I mean?
But,
but yeah, I mean, it's been a steady, you know, we definitely didn't sound how we sound now when we first started. Yeah. You know, I mean, the root of that was there, but, you know, we kind of needed, really, it's again, as cliche as that sounds, like, we needed all five of us to kind of really complete that circle of, okay, now this is like a full sound. Now this is something that we can really add on to like what we have here and make something kind of unique and special,
sure,
in its own way, you know.
Well, it's something me and him were talking about earlier about how, you know, you may take one person out and add somebody in and it just changes the whole dynamic. You may be running with the same core four or five or maybe even six for years and it's like something's still missing.
Right.
And then you just add that one other piece and it was like,
there it is.
Why was it that hard to find that one single piece to make this whole thing work?
Some bands, that makes more of a difference than others.
Yeah,
and
right.
This is one of those where you remove one of those pieces and it's not going to be the same.
I mean, us as a three-piece was just, you know, there's only so many instruments you can play at one time with making it sound full. It's like,
well. It also brings drive, too.
Yeah.
You know, drive, and you see ambitions of other people, and that motivates you more because you see that they're more serious than you thought you were, and then you're like, "Oh, I'm in this now. Let's do it."
Especially when everybody's got different influences.
Absolutely,
That's what makes it interesting.
I didn't play this kind of music when I joined this band.
we're still introducing Matt to the glories of country music, to the glories of the old country music. He was just saying that he knows words to country songs.
Like, what do you guys do to me?
Yeah.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. You know, we met your puppies, Willie and Waylon.
Willie and Waylon.
I figured that's a pretty good indicator of some influence. But who, you guys bring other different influence? I mean, are you guys a lot of similar?
I think we all will have some similar influences, that's for sure, you know. But, I mean, as far as what we all grew up on, listening to, and even me and Derek here, basically grew up our whole musical lives together and in a very similar situation of, you know, the same area and the same kind of, you know. Mm-hmm. And, but even with that, we still have differences of things we like that the other one doesn't necessarily like that, you know, so. But we got a lot of different influences, that's for sure.
Right.
A lot of common ground, a lot of differences.
It pretty much covers everything.
I think that's fun, though. Like, I mean, you know, maybe if somebody's got more, you know, had a rock background or something like that, they can kind of add a little bit, you know, here's something I learned from, you know, playing that kind of, and it kind of makes it what you're sound more of an original thing, you know, where you're, you know, not always just a country licks or whatever you throw in something, another genre or whatever, and kind of mash it together and blend it and make it original. And that's a lot of fun to see when the people can master all that, you know, to all those different,
And I think we try and do that within the confines of a common goal.
Yeah.
Or a specific sort of sound that we're going for.
Sure.
Yeah, without it just being like, well, I'm going to throw this country look in right here. And then,
it's going to sound real good.
Well, yeah, maybe you shouldn't do that right there. Yeah, I'm doing it. Well, you know.
Let's make this one a metal song.
Yeah.
Somebody get that tuba.
I am definitely, I'm trying to pull for us to cover an Avenged Sevenfold song right now. So we'll see. I don't think technically I'm up to it, but I don't know if, you know.
I don't know, man. I've heard some really awesome bluegrass country remixes and stuff, and I'm just like, where did that come from?
It would blow people away if you did it right and did it good. You know, I mean, people would be like, oh, man, but.
What's that one that's going? It's like a.
We do a bluegrass version of Danzig by our Mother by Danzig now and again.
Yeah.
I just saw Yonder Mountain recently, and they opened up with Paranoid.
Yeah.
And I'm like, where the hell did that?
Actually, I've seen that video. I've seen a video for that.
I'm like, oh, I'm in. Let's do it.
Right. Right.
What else are we in for now?
There's a video of it. I see it pops up in my Facebook feed a lot with. It's like Seagulls something, but it's like a...
Oh, Steve and Seagulls.
Yeah.
Steve and Seagulls. That's
Thunderstruck. Or Thunderstruck,
They got a bunch of... Them and those two guys.
I saw a video of that. I didn't know what you were talking about, but that's awesome. That's an awesome cover.
I forget what their name is, but the two guys that play cello, and they do the same type of, like... Okay. They play all these crazy, like, old metal songs or old... You know, classic rock songs are just shredding, just shredding them.
Well, I remember growing up like in high school, 16, I remember I had an 88 Crown Vic station wagon. I had wood panels, and I would roll my back window down, and I had like these two 12-inch Jensen subs in the back.
Hey, Jensen was a shit man. Yeah.
And I, my suspension was like shot from doing all kinds of hill jumps and stuff. So that wagon come in bouncing in the back, and I'd come up to school and I'd have Gord's gin and juice cover cranked up.
That's who does that?
Yeah.
Okay, I've always wondered who does that cover.
Yeah, the Gord's.
That's Gord's.
Sit on gin and juice. But yeah, that's it was either that or Adam Sandler's piece of shit car. That was another one.
Hey, what the hell happened to me? That's a pretty good album for Adam Sandler.
I used to have.
Now everybody's asking, what the hell?
What the hell happened to you, Adam?
But I was like a little. When I say a little kid, I was probably too. I wasn't too young to have the album, but I was too young to have the album. And I had my mom. She bought me the "They're All Gonna Laugh at You" album by Adam Sandler, and then she ended up taking it away from me. And then I ended up sneaking it from where she hid it from me, and she like just forgot about it. Like I just had other rest, you know.
Yeah, I can remember middle school or whatever listening to those records, those Sandler.
I mean, back in the day, you're how old are you?
I'll be 30 in June. So,
oh, dang, you'll be 30. Yeah, so I'll be 33. So about the same, man.
Right.
You guys are pretty liberal throwing your age out there.
I'm 24.
I cannot confirm or deny that I'm 30.
Yeah,
I'll censor it. I'll beep it.
Yeah, how old are you?
75. What?
I don't care. I mean, it's fun. It's fun getting old. You know?
Oh yeah, if I knew what I knew now back then.
Yeah,
oh, I get to pass all my stupid shit on to my kids. Yeah. So she's screwed.
No, she just know no, better just be what awesome. Not to do. Yeah,
yeah. Awesome. This would be the awesome kid.
Yeah, that's one. I mean, I don't have any children, but that's what I do look for. I've been trying to collect a bunch of records, a bunch of vinyl of all my favorite albums, and I'm just like my dad gave me his, like I'd like to pass on my taste to my children someday. And
yeah, we was talking about that.
I'm gonna make it rain vinyl on Lana's head. She's already into vinyl now. It's like
one day
this could all be yours. She's like, Dad, I don't want your stupid fucking Led Zeppelin records anymore.
Yeah, but you can't beat the sound of vinyl.
You don't understand. This is the first pressing of this record.
Yeah.
She's listen like, to these care. Pops. That's what I like.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You can hear John Bonham's bass drum squeaking. You can hear the pedal squeak.
You hear the pedal squeak. And if you listen real hard, I think he died just
Whoa. Too soon.
Too soon.
Too soon, right. Buddy. Too soon.
Dang.
I'm sorry, John. Rest in peace. So I know you guys tour a lot. So you guys got any favorite stories from touring?
I got a funny one from this last tour that's pretty funny. Let me start off with saying I cannot dance. I have one dance move.
I don't know what you're gonna say.
I have one dance move in my book, and that is the worm. I'm a great wormer. I can worm.
That's nothing to be ashamed of.
Yeah, right. So
maybe something to be proud of. I don't know.
We left, and I wasn't feeling the hottest anyway. So we're a couple days in, and we're like in Colorado. And I was feeling real bad. We played this show, and I drank a little bit of beer, and it just hit me not good. I had to go to the bathroom real bad, you know. So we get done. Like I had to look at Justin. We're playing. I'm like, if there's like an encore or something, you're doing it without me. I'm going to the bathroom. You know what I mean? So like, I went to the bathroom three or four times before we even left this place we played. You know, after packing up stuff, we're driving in the van. We got a 20-minute, half an hour drive to where we're going, staying at. And I seriously thought that I wasn't going to make it. I was like, we got to pull this van over, got to get to the gas station. I'm like running into the gas station, butt cheeks clenched. I get in the gas station, get back to the restroom, and you need a key for the restroom. And I'm like, oh my God, oh my God. So I go, I get the key. Luckily, I did make it. I did make it to the bathroom. So I still felt horrible all night. Almost shit my pants, you know. Feel horrible all night. Wake up the next day. Feel great, like feel better than I had since we left, you know. We play that night. there's a dance competition happening on the floor while we're playing. We're like playing the song. There's these two dudes having a
back and forth.
Yeah, legit dance competition. The one dude like took the other dude's hat and did all some crazy flip with it, and it was awesome. The bar, the crowd was like into it, and it was like you couldn't have planned it. I kind of looked at Derek to like take over the lead because we were all singing at this last chorus, and I was kind of looking at him like take over the lead part. I set my guitar down and I just went and did the worm right in between these two guys, you know, and the crowd is just like, whoa, they just erupt. We get done playing and I was like, last night I almost shit my pants. Tonight I'm doing the worm. And that's my awesome road story.
Yeah. I was.
You won that dance competition.
Yeah, you definitely won first prize.
I was hoping it would end with him shitting his pants doing the work.
Right? Yeah.
It's like, now top that.
From now on, that's how you tell that story.
And I shit my pants doing the work.
I hit one time.
But I did win that dance competition. Real one is. But yeah, there's a lot. There's probably so many crazy things that happen. And
yeah.
A lot of cool things that happen, though. Things that, you know, as people you meet, there's a lot of cool people you meet that. One are just nice to you, but you know, just are like almost overly nice. It's almost like you don't have any clue who we are,
right.
And you're gonna let us stay at your house tonight based on the fact that we played music tonight, you know, and like you don't know what kind of people we are, which is obvious. We aren't bad people. Right? I'm saying, like, you don't know.
We don't know.
I
could smother you in your sleep. I'm not going to.
Right. So I'm just gonna chill, man. You know. You know, you meet a lot of really cool people like that, more than you think.
Mostly naked guys in hot spring bathtubs.
that's kind of a funny one, too. Yeah. We played at this place in Utah called Mystic Hot Springs, and it's a beautiful place.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Very rustic and very, you know, very open, and kind of hippie-ish, you know what I mean? And we're playing, and there's like hot springs everywhere, and there's tubs, like old style bathtubs everywhere, and they have the hot springs running
like
to these tubs.
And
they can drain them and they can refill them up, and you know they can control like how hot it is, basically, and all that stuff. Just from the dude like moves a rock and he can control how hot it gets. It's crazy.
Huh. Down to a science.
So we're like in this little. We're having this real like small intimate little concert, and the dude's just like. Yeah, I think it's about time to take a dip. And just takes off his pants, takes off his shirt, hops in that tub, and we're just playing. We're just like, yeah, man, you take that dip. We're gonna, you know.
Not to mention, we ended up meeting Emilio Estevez a couple years back.
Emilio! Mighty Ducks.
The Emilio Estevez, that's right.
Yeah, he came down to Utah to see us.
Was he the guy that jumped in the tub?
No, it should have been.
No, but he was right next to the guy
he was
that jumped
right
in
there.
The tub.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was cool.
Like, this is the last time I come vacation to this place.
Yeah, he didn't quite know he was getting himself into on that trip.
That's kind of what I thought.
You figure with the Mighty Duck status, he wouldn't have to.
That's you guys seen that, right? Night at Roxbury?
Oh, yeah. We wanted to do that, but...
Mighty Ducks.
I think he likes us because we did.
Yeah. That's a dude. He's like, he's really funny and very down to earth. And just, we don't really do that around. Although, I got to say, like, legitimately, Young Guns 1 and Young Guns 2 are like some of my favorite movies.
Yeah.
And he was talking about where they filmed Young Guns 1 this last time we saw him. And in my head, I'm just like, oh, man, I should be like, that's my favorite movie. That's my favorite movie. But I didn't want to be that dude, you know. But I kind of wanted to be that dude.
Even before this, I've had the opportunity to meet a lot of really cool people. And it's, I think that's part of the, like, thing, though, like, if you treat them just like people, you know, they respond to it. Like,
And he definitely don't act like a movie star.
We don't have to try to treat him like that.
Yeah.
He's just like...
Sure.
Conversational and funny.
I've become friends with, like, you know, these people, a lot of these people, and it's like, it's just cool, like, if you can relate, you know, hanging out with them like normal people, like, they respond to that. Before, like, you know... Everybody freaking out, like, oh, can I get an autograph? Can I get your picture? And all,
take a picture with me.
Yeah, I don't think any of us have got an autograph from him or anything like that. You know, we've taken some pictures with him, like, as a group.
Right.
None of us have been like, I'll get a visual picture with you, or, you know, like.
Will you sign my copy of Maximum, Maximum Velocity or whatever, whatever that Stephen King movie is?
I just have it right here.
It's right here on DVD, collector's issue.
I just sort of have it in my pocket.
Yeah.
Just in case there's an off chance that's what I might run into.
I did meet Pauly Shore one day.
How was that?
It was cool. Like, he was doing a stand-up at Plush before it closed. And I brought
Plush is closed?
Yeah,
I didn't realize that. It's
been gone for a while now.
Yeah. Where the hell have I been?
That was a cool place.
Oh, yeah. It was a really neat spot to play, and I saw Jason Isbell there one night.
Yeah, I love Jason Isbell. Yeah, that's
a big good place for him too.
Oh yeah, it was right before, because like last time I saw him, he was at Fox, or Peabody. I mean, he was at Peabody.
The plush was way more intimate.
It was, and he played Plush with Amanda Shire. So to see those two playing together was incredible. So
yeah, but that was a good show.
Yeah. Anyway, so I'm meeting Pauly there. I brought my copy of Biodome.
Biodome is a good movie.
Yeah. In that situation, like, it wasn't like we were hanging out.
Right.
I went to his show, and I'm like, hey, if I got a chance to get this signed, that'd be fun. So,
yeah,
like,
what's Pauly Shore comedy stand-up like?
He just kind of told stories shit, like when he was growing up, like some of the 90s stories and some of the little bit of the movies. But he's got some jokes, but, you know, really a lot of it was just storytelling kind of stuff. And
that actually probably be pretty cool, though.
It was fun.
A weasel.
Yeah. It was interesting, at least, you know, like, and then the weird part at the end, though, when I, to get, you know, you did like a meet and greet thing, at Plush, they got a lot of these, like, old sofas and stuff, like, in there on the restaurant side. So, yeah, like, they threw out this, like, sofa, and Pauly's, like, standing behind it. And then they kind of feeding the line in out of the showroom. And everybody, to get a picture with Pauly, you got to sit down, like, on the couch. And he's, like, standing behind you. So all of our my picture and everybody else's, they all look like Pauly Shore is just photobombing everyone.
That's awesome.
It's just like, hey, I'm just sitting here on this couch, and like, who's that guy? Oh, that's Pauly Shore behind me. It's kind of weird, but I don't know if he's like a germphobe or kind of whatever. Yeah, any of that stuff. Just trying to keep that barrier or whatever. But it was cool though. I mean, like I said, to meet him, and it's always kind of fun to see some of those people, meet some of those people, like, especially, like, you know, that you've seen in movies all the time, and then meeting as real people, it's pretty wild. Do you guys ever had any of those moments with musicians you look up to and stuff, or?
Well, Justin got a boner on Keller Williams last year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was pretty excited to meet him.
Yeah, no, that was really cool. We played this festival in Minnesota last year. The same one we're playing this weekend or whatnot. And Keller Williams was on the bill, you know. And we just got done and started tearing down our stuff. And here comes Keller Williams walking up. And Justin's a huge fan, you know. And he'd got to get mad if I sold this thing. But he was like a little girl. He's like, hi, Keller, hi. You know, he's just... He's like, remember when you wrote that song? That was real neat.
You remember when you were in the Beatles?
Throwing
you under the bus.
Yeah.
There's a band I really like called Turnpike Troubadours. And we, the first time we saw them was at Harvest Fest, and I was lit up. And me and one of our buddies, there was like nobody down there watching them.
Probably an understatement.
I was the sun. I was so lit up, and I kept getting my boots stuck in the fence at like the front of the stage, whatever, like the gate there. So there was nobody there. We kept staying, like every song they would play, we'd stand on that fence and be like, yeah, just raging really hard.
Yeah.
It was all right, though. You know, I mean, we made their show probably because there was, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of people out there. And but these two dudes were really getting down to
the
it.
The two dudes were really,
really getting down to it.
Not so much the girls. There was two dudes with beards.
We ended up really into it. We ended up like
that's exactly what we were
right. We ended up getting to like play with them and stuff. Like, you know, not just like beyond a festival, like actually play a show with them and stuff. But we also went and saw them in Indianapolis. And, yeah, we ended up going, because old Matt, the quiet one, Matt, we're all kind of like, we saw him at their bus, you know, after we're like, well, maybe we should go over there and talk to him. And we're all kind of stalling. Matt's like, well, see you, boys, I'm going. We're like, oh, well, I guess we better go. So we ended up, like, closing down a bar with them that night and stuff. So that's, then we ended up playing with them. So that's kind of helped probably get that show. But yeah,
sure. They're going to be here Saturday, right?
Friday.
Oh, yeah, they're at the pageant. Right?
They're good. They got a new album coming out pretty shortly. I think it's done-ish. I know that it was, like, in the studio.
Right? Those are one of those guys that are like, you know, they've played off-Broadway quite a bit, and then all of a sudden they hit, and then now they're playing the pageant. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the last year or so, they've kind of really hit a pretty good surge of...
Yeah, I think, I mean, I think the whole genre, you know, there's been a lot of people, you know, just, like I said, you know, Isabel, and there's a lot of people in this sort of Americana genre.
Yeah,
it's really taking
Sturgill
a lot of notice.
Simpson. Yeah, Sturgill. Yeah.
We're going to go see Chris Stapleton next week.
I've heard of him. I haven't listened to anything about him.
He's killer.
He's, I mean, he's a little different than...
very soulful country.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
But he does on the record, the new Traveler came out, he does Tennessee Whiskey. Mm-hmm. So it's a really neat version of the song.
That's cool.
So obviously, that, you know, he's got roots in the...
So you got a little David Allan Coe.
Yeah, right.
I just want to listen to that song.
Man. Oh, yeah. such a good song. But the whole record, it wouldn't surprise me if it's named Album of the Year and stuff, because it's a really a fantastic record.
I have to check that out.
That's good, yeah. I like well-made record, you know, cohesive albums.
And it's like, well, especially nowadays, like, everything on the radio sucks.
Yeah, it's all built around being single.
I'm in the hunt for bands. That, I mean, me and him have been going back and forth. You ever heard of him? He's like, dude, I've been in him for like 3 years. I'm like,
where
shit.
You been?
And I'm being into music as much as I am, I feel bad because I'm like, where have I been? Because I don't know half of these people.
That's one thing I really like about like Spotify is that you can find all these bands that you never would have heard of. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden they're like your favorite band. You know,
or it's like a lot of these festivals are coming up and, you know, you see these names on these bills. I'm like, I've never heard of any of these people. And then you go to their page, like 28,000 people. Yeah. I'm like,
right, you're like, wow.
What bus did I miss to miss all of these people?
They must be real big in Texas.
It's kind of like we talked about earlier with like the internet and stuff and, you know, the show booking or whatever. That's kind of the thing about it too is that, you know, you can have a lot of fans now, but... still be under the radar. Yeah. Still not be
word of mouth and
so much out there. And, you know,
but I think it's almost where to be now because I mean nobody wants to be on a major label.
Well, you don't want to be yourself on the bull.
Yeah, you don't want anybody owning you or your music. Because
the indies are
going to
put you out on the road and put your record out, like, put you on festivals. And
we talk about here recently. We've been talking about Maroon 5 all the time, and we talk about how they started out as a band. And now they're a production. You know, it's like they're not a band anymore. It might be all the same guys, and they might be in a studio
somewhere,
but it isn't that same thing. You know what I mean? Yeah, just you know, it's like somebody owns them at this point. Sure. Somebody like, here you go, boys.
I heard. I listened to a lot of podcasts, a lot of comedy ones, but there was somebody was having this same kind of discussion about how how Beyonce is like, she's no longer a singer or any. She is a product, and she's the face of that, a business, and they feed her the songs and the and all the stuff, the production, and she's you are just the image of this product. You know,
and that's not. I mean, I guess maybe some people want to do that. I don't know. Maybe they get just sucked into it somehow, but
yeah.
You know, I guess if they start doing it, they get money or something, and they're like, oh, but I don't know. It seems like that would
I almost
soul-crushing in a way, you know?
I'd rather be underground and be able to go do what I want, go when I wherever I want, right, and yeah, not have to be like, hey, could you run down to the store and get me a fucking Slurpee? Because
right, I can't go to 7-Eleven anymore.
Like, yeah. I would rather just be able to do what
this
I want.
This Slurpee's not grape enough. Go put more grape in it.
Or I'll smack you around.
Bring out the baby powder. Yeah.
That's
call this royal grape?
You know, and especially this last time coming to and from California and stuff, it was, you know, we're talking about, oh man, this would be so much easier if we had this or had this, or, you know, had a bus and had this type of stuff. And it would be, and that, you know, definitely is a step. I don't know if that's the next step or if that's, you know, but that definitely is a step ahead of where we're at now, you know. But there's definitely something, you know, there's glory days part about what we're doing now, but sure, just being us in a van, booking it ourselves, and the struggles that there is there in the camaraderie you get from that, from, you know, from going through that together, and, yeah, you know.
I don't think most people understand that. You know, they don't know what it's like to grind for 5, 6, 7, right, 8 years.
Yeah, it looks glamorous, yeah, even at this point to people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And some people don't, you know, they think you're going, oh, you guys are going to California. It's like a vacation. And there are some aspects. I mean, it's hard to say that.
We didn't enjoy your time.
Yeah, and, you know, that playing music is hard work. And there is hard work to it, you know, but, you know, it's hard to say that's as hard as working in a factory 7 days a week or something, or, you know, I mean, that's not no comparison, but it definitely feeds into what you're wanting to do and making you do it better. I feel like having that type of thing where you are just in a van, you are, you know, it's you, nobody's setting your stuff up, nobody's, you know what I mean, you're in charge of what time you got to be there. Yeah,
I think
got a mod for the time changes.
Yeah, we had to master that. Yeah, we messed that up a few times. We didn't know where the lines were.
I think that's the key, though, to longevity of the band, because you know, people talk about how, like, you know, the Voice and American Idol and some of these kind of shows where people are coming out of, and like, I was just having to kind of talk with my wife about how she's like saying how, you know, most of those winners on those shows haven't like really done anything.
Yeah, what was the last thing you heard about Ruben Studdard, yeah, or whatever? When you get the lap band? Yeah. That was the last thing you hear about.
So you got, like, I mean, you had Kelly Clarkson and Carrie Underwood become big stars out of it, but, you know, a lot of them kind of fell off after that. And then I think that's a lot what it is. Like, I mean, there's a lot of great singers, but there's, you know, to be able to have longevity to make it and work the road and
pushing yourself to the lifestyle,
right? You know, it's so I think I mean, you see a lot of these guys, even mentioned like Isabel, who, you know, he did his time with Drive By Truckers, mm-hmm, and stuff, yeah, and now he's, you know, kind of stepping out, yeah, on his own and really making it. But I mean, those guys, they put a lot of years in, you know, grinding.
Oh, yeah,
so.
Trucker's been around for, yeah, you know, oh, just, yeah, with him as a, sure, comparison.
Well, he, I mean, was he? Well, he wasn't even like actually an original member, was
no,
he?
No, it wasn't. He came in late on the, you know, they've
been with that. He's still, yeah. Plus, yeah, he still did stuff. Even, I mean, before even kind of him, just now he had that.
They went by the 400 unit. And then I think he still has a lot of the same band. It's just they kind of dub it more of a solo record as, mm-hmm, with the new one, the Southeastern. Speaking of records, man, I talk about.
I just recently listened to that. That's a good
one. For me, it's I think they called it like Americana Christmas or something like when that, because so Southeastern and John Moreland's In the Throes. I don't know if you guys know John. Check out John. He's so good, man. But those two albums came out the same day, and then like a couple, I think maybe like American Aquarium or something like that. Okay, I think they put out a record. All of them like hit the same day, so like all these great, you know, albums came out. And so for me, I bought both of them at the same. I bought Jason and John's the same day and things. And I saw because of that, but also like albums are always connected to me now for those since I have them at the same time.
Yeah.
So when I listen to one, I always go right back and listen to the other one.
Yeah.
But they have like a lot of similar feeling in them, you know. They're both in a very similar place when they were writing these songs. They're kind of, a lot of them are pretty kind of dark and. But yeah, I mean, John Moreland's one of my favorite young writers, And he just put out a brand new record a couple weeks ago called High on Tulsa Heat, and that's it's still a great
record. Yeah, check that out, because that's
if you like Jason, you'll like it, because that's where John started getting a lot of popularity, because he opened for Jason on a bunch of dates. Awesome. So because Jason was a fan of John, so Jason said, "Come on, let's go, you know, do some shows," and then it's really boosted his popularity. So
that was a cool feeling. Yeah. You're like, oh shit.
I think if you guys are available, John Moreland is at Off Broadway, June 19th. So there you go.
Yeah, for you. Yeah.
If you're in town, come check him out. Yeah,
I'll buy your birthday shirt.
Yeah, there you go.
You expect one in return.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. You buy yours, I'll buy mine.
There's a guy opening for him on that.
No.
Let's do them together.
There's a guy opening for him named Chris Porter. And he's really good, too. I saw both of them at the Gramophone like a year ago. If you like, if you're into that, you know, singer songwriter, Americana, like that's where it's at.
It sounds like a good time.
Do you guys have any like dream venues or festivals you guys want to play
someday? I feel like if I ever played
Austin City Limits.
Oh yeah, if we
that'd be awesome.
Don't put too much thought into that.
If I ever played Austin City Limits, I would be like, hey, we made it. If we ever played Red Rocks, I'd be like, hey, we made
Red Rocks. Yeah, Red Rocks would be cool.
That's like a bucket list for me, like to go a show there. And,
yeah.
Even if we opened for somebody at Red Rocks, I'd be like, hey, we made it, boys. And girl.
NPR Tiny Desk Series.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, man, you should name them, Matt, because those are good. You're naming the good ones right now.
So, Matt, which ones do you really want?
That's what I said.
That's what I said.
What's the garage one? Metal Green Sky was on. That's a cool one, too. That was cool.
You ever...
I did them there.
You guys ever see that Jam in the Van? You ever seen those series?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I think I've seen Lord Haynes do it in a Jam in the Van.
I don't remember...
That's a really a cool series they do on YouTube.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
They just kind of roll up to these different festivals, and whether it's a single musician or a whole band, but they all pack in there. Like I know I saw one with Devin Allman, and he just did it by himself, played a song.
Yeah.
And then, but I saw one with Moon Taxi. And there was quite a bit of people in that band, and then they're all like, some guy in the back, up against the window with his bass and stuff, and it's just...
That might be, I saw an Avett Brothers video, that might be, because they were all packed in, it looked like a bus or a van, and it was just the band, and then they had all these other people with them too, and it was like, they were just packed in there, and it was...
It's just kind of, it's fun, but it sounds incredible too, it's just... For a van recording.
There's probably a lot of energy in that, too, though, when you're in a space like that and just, there's probably a lot of energy that...
One condenser is all you need. Yeah.
I like the Live at Daryl's House. Really? You ever seen those?
Daryl Hall,
He's had some pretty good people on there before.
He always, plays with them, and
they play some of his old stuff, and some of it's pretty good. I like when they do the other band songs. I understand what you're there for. It's like... Focus on their stuff. It's like, you wrote some cool songs, but they've got some better ones.
Your Rich Girl's a cool song, but...
But...
they do, I don't know, I haven't watched it lately, but I remember when I used to watch, they did a cooking segment thing in there, too. He would always feed them whenever they came out to his house and stuff, because they're out there all day. And so they play, and then they would take a break, and they would show
My favorite one was Grace Potter.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Sorry, baby, I love you, but still.
Grace Potter.
Yeah, she just married her drummer, I think, not too long ago.
Fool.
That's where they're messing up.
Then she married a drummer or got married.
And anything married.
In band relationships never work.
They never work. Unless you're writing songs. That works just fine.
The Civil Wars can tell you all about
that. Yeah, Civil Wars can tell you. Yeah, because they broke up.
How that worked out.
There's
one good album.
Damn. I mean, that's what it's kind of like. I mentioned Jason and Amanda, and I'm like, I mean, they're not in, they play together, not exactly, but you think how many Fleetwood Mac and stuff. Even I heard that they were put together in a studio, that they were two separate things, and then
they probably couldn't be around each other.
Yeah, it was Buckingham Knicks in the beginning,
right? But then I think then they added so then they became the group, but it was like it's just kind of crazy how many couples are perform together out there. Like,
like the whole writing of I could get this wrong. If there's any Fleetwood Mac fannies out there, but the rumors, I think it was, they like Lindsey Buckingham and Stevie Nicks were just at each other's throat the whole time, writing songs about each other's relationship. Right. And
could you imagine the tension in that?
And I think they were all like basically living in that studio during that time to record it.
You tell me.
What is Tusk about? Keep playing them drums. I don't know.
I think a little Big Town, aren't they two couples also?
Yeah, I think at least one of them is. Yeah.
I don't know, but I guess. I'm sure it's got its pros and cons.
Shovels and Rope.
I was going to say Shovels and Rope. Those two are intense.
What you guys got coming up that we're looking forward to?
Get that old calendar out.
Get that calendar out.
We're going to Iowa and Minnesota. We're leaving tomorrow for that, and that's
playing a live artist.
Harmony
Park. Amazing place.
Yeah, that's in Minnesota. It's called Revival Festival, and it's kind of thrown by Wookie Foot, if anybody knows that band. And
they'll be in Phases this year.
There's a lot of really good bands play there, and it's like it's kind of a very conscious festival, stuff like that. So that's pretty cool. It'll be fun. When we get back, what are we doing?
We're at the demo with Fruition. The 27th. It's a Wednesday, May 27th.
What's happening after that, buddy?
looks like we're the 28th at Lamasco.
Oh, that's in Indiana. That's in Evansville.
Oh, but the 30th of May, we're at the Old Rock House for the Soldiers' Benefit.
All right.
And I'm not really
sure. That's going to benefit soldiers.
Yeah, I'm not really sure the whole title because our
Gmail. There's probably a whole lot of bands. You can probably just check on the website about that.
Yeah, you can look on our Facebook, I'm sure.
You got Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
It's clusterpluck.org. That's kind of the main website, clusterpluck.org. But yeah, we're on Facebook and Twitter and
Instagram.
All that stuff, yeah.
I was thinking about how many times I could squeeze in plucking puns.
but, let's try it.
Yeah, I was
there's one.
Get the count.
Yeah. I was like, I wonder how many times you guys hear those jokes.
We still get a lot of places, Will. Like, we send them promo stuff, we send them flyers and stuff like that, and we get there, and it's like, hey, we put you guys in the paper. Oh, yeah, and then we look, we got a paper over there, and it looks, it says Cluster Puck, or it says Cluster Punk, or like, they always mess it up, but, whatever, it's just a name, as long as people know it's us,
they'll
figure it out,
Like, wait, so Cluster Pluck and Punk and Puck are all the same
people? Yeah, we're here for a summer hockey demo.
That'll increase our fan base by millions. Once they figure out it's the same band.
So so I've been following them the whole time, but that's the same people.
Yeah. This is a Canadian hockey team.
When they were
going to
wake up and
just
see that the internet has, they've came together and figured it out.
Once Wiki figures it out.
Oh, it's the same band.
you ever listen to Patrick Sweeney? You ever heard him at all?
Mm-hmm.
But he loves Patrick Swayze.
Yeah.
I do love Patrick Swayze.
Little Roadhouse all day.
Well, there's...
I'm trying to think of what...
He doesn't like me to know Patrick Swayze, but he loves Patrick
Swayze. She's like the wind.
I was literally about... I had no idea that was him.
This is a really good song, actually. Depending.
I was watching... I don't even know what I was looking up. I think I was looking up something of Mandolin Rain, and then I looked up, and then as it was coming down, I'm like, Patrick Swayze did that song. I've got to watch this shit.
He's like the
Ghost
wind.
Himself.
And it was the worst video I've ever seen because it was all like, something going on in the background. He's kind of singing up in the foreground. It was horrible.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, I was so mesmerized. I was just watching him. And my wife's like, what are you doing? I'm like, shh,
never mind.
Patrick Swayze is singing. Get out.
You didn't know we did that?
What I was going to say is Patrick Sweeney spells his name... Sweeney, and most of it's, two E's.
Yeah.
And he's got a great line in his song. I forget the title, which one it is. But anyway, the line goes, I just want my name spelled right inside of a magazine. And So that's what, you know, hoping to get that level where they can spell his name right.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, that's what I thought of that when you go.
Hey, Kanye West has a line in one of his songs that says something about his name's Kanye, but his plastic still says Kane. Like his credit card say, right. You know what I'm saying? Hey,
Kanye just too got soon. He's Dr. Kanye to you now.
Dr. Kanye? Well, yeah. What? What did he get a doctorate
in? They gave him a degree at some university. They gave him an
honorary PhD in fine arts from Chicago, even though he never fucking went there.
Right.
He was a college dropout. That was the first
he was college. Come on now. Get him an album called College Dropout and then get an honorary doctorate.
How much more bullshit could they spoon feed him?
Right.
His ego's already big
How
enough.
How much money does he really need in the world?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Oh, Kane West.
Dr. West.
Dr. West to you. That's Dr. West to you.
Yeah. Sorry.
That's what's the fun of this, man. Is like I didn't think when I'd sit down with you guys that we'd be talking about Kanye West.
The most messed up thing I think I've seen about that man is there was people literally on eBay selling air in plastic bags
from a concert
from his tour.
Oh god!
What?
Yes. $200 for these airs.
It was literally like $65 for a bag of air from the tour.
Yeah.
Oh,
what?
And it literally had like 5 bids. I'm like,
well,
who is sitting at home like, man, I got to get this air for Kanye's tour.
I got the timer on. I'm ready.
We're putting on the merch table from now on. Plastic bags full of air from the last show.
Yeah.
Please do. If you want the full experience, when you open it up, just take a whiff, and that's what it's all about.
That smells like last night's show. Yeah. That's
smells like... smell a little bit of stag, a little bit of sweat, a little bit of... cheap perfume and weed.
Yeah.
Good. Smells your next album time, right? It's all about the cheap perfume and weed.
Smells like somebody was doing the worm in that room.
I think he might have shit his pants.
Yeah. I think he just shit his pants.
But he sure did win that dance competition.
Right, hopefully somebody hears and brings you a best dancer trophy.
Oh. Or some ballerina. Or some Depends.
I'll wear them. I don't even care.
He's got to do a P-Funk style and playing diapers.
Right?
Pardon the pun.
Hey, George Clinton's still killing it.
That dude's gone off the deep end.
Yeah.
He's up there talking about smoking crack in the middle of his
set.
Playing George Clinton.
Like, man, just play the hits. Nobody wants to know what you're doing.
Free bunch of problems. Dang.
All right. Well, you guys, you want to play a track at the end of this?
What do you think we should do? Find my way off the newest one.
Nah.
Well,
we can play him a song, and I'm not going to.
I'm not really a fan. I don't know.
I don't care what we do. What do you want to do, Matt?
I think we should actually play "Find My Way" and then introduce a track off the CD.
We're in the studio, bro. All right, here's a song off our new EP called "Find My Way." Little time's anything, nothing.
Thank you, East Hollywood Squares.
Hey guys, that was a great.
Yeah, thanks. Woo!
Once again, you got Facebook, Instagram, and
Twitter. And clusterpluck.org is
website.
The actual website.
You can find everything there.
Find everything.
Yeah, most of it's Clusterpluck Music or clusterpluck.org. Or,
if you type in Clusterpluck, you'll find us.
Easy.
Well, thanks again, guys, hanging out. This has been a blast.
Yeah, we had a blast. Thank you guys for coming. Thanks for hanging out.
And, so come out to a live show. See these guys with the 30th at the Old Rock House, right? 20, I think it was.
Better check that calendar.
31st?
30th? How fast do you type that code in?
Right, it's the 30th. Yeah, you're right. 30th. It's the 30th at the Old Rock House.
All right. So,
and the 27th at the demo.
Yeah, so come out, see these guys play, and there'll be the rest of the band there those nights, too.
Yeah.
Hopefully. Come see them while we get close.
Maybe not now.
We might be in three piece now.
Okay. I think about that.
Yeah. Maybe we'll be Cluster Puck. Maybe we'll be
Cluster.
It's not the same thing.
It's not the same thing.
Or you'd be like a Swedish version Cluster
Fluke. Yeah, with the hard. The
umlaut. We'll be the umlaut.
Yeah, I like that.
It sounds good.
All right, guys. That's episode 70. Thanks again.
Hey, thank you, brother.
Thanks.